Well, hello, and episode 3 of The Hive. And today we're going to be talking about the question of how do you communicate, how should you communicate, how should you be talking to furloughed workers? I think the statistic is that something like 80% of UK businesses are furloughing staff to a greater or lesser extent. So it's, you know, it's a big issue. Lorna, do you want to kick off on that?
Yeah, so I guess the first thing that I would say is if you're just talking to them, then you're probably not getting it quite right yet. It's really, really important to be listening and to be continuing a dialogue, partly because organisations are using furlough in so many different ways and are approaching it from so many different ways that you've got a spectrum of people who are sitting here thinking, is this the first step towards redundancy? Am I going to have a job in a month or two's time? Some other people at the other end of the spectrum are going, a month off, full pay, happy days, leave me alone.
Yeah.
And so I think if you're not engaging in dialogue and listening to what they need, then you're missing an opportunity there. I think there are a couple of other pieces. So it's really easy for HR people to tie themselves in knots around this. It's a brand new surprise piece of legislation. We're used to having much more lead up and information about legislation. We're used to having much clearer parameters. None of those things are there for us. You can talk to 10 different employment lawyers at the moment about furlough and get 10 different views on what you should and shouldn't do. We're operating in grey. We're off the map. So I think worrying too much about should I even be talking to them at all? Should my wording in the letter refer to X, Y, and Z? Try and calm that need for all of that level of detail. And remember that you're talking to a real human being who's going through all of those worries and concerns and everything else. So just try and be human in the way that you engage with them. Those, I suppose, are my two key points.
Interesting. Somebody was saying to me the other day who's been furloughed that they've been told by their employer that they are not allowed to log onto their employer email system more than once a week. What they're being told is the rules. But as you say, there will be local interpretations and.
That can't be in the legislation, surely.
I feel like I have to have a disclaimer running across the bottom of my screen saying not a qualified employment lawyer, although I'm a fellow of the CIPD. But, you know, who knows? And are we really worrying about a potential ET claim 6 months in the future for somebody who received one too many company updates versus making sure that a human being is okay right now in the biggest crisis of a generation?
Yes.
So I think getting bogged down in the rules and the regulations, don't email us, don't log on, don't do this, don't do that. All those deposits you've been making in the trust bank from an engagement point of view as an organisation are going to pay you dividends right now. If you've got a culture of trust, if you have got a true culture of strong engagement with people who are involved and communicated with, and that's already there, then you don't need to worry as much about all of the rules and the structure. It's a real test of that at the moment, though. And it's not too late. It's not too late to involve people, explain your rationale, talk through the dilemmas that you're facing as a business. I think if people understand why you're making decisions that you're making and they feel like they've been involved in them, there's a really excellent story that's doing the rounds all over social media from a CEO of a tech business in the States who had the option between getting rid of 20% of his staff. Or he didn't know. He had no answers. He wasn't sure. That was the what he called the capitalist math told him to get rid of 20% of his staff. But he went out to his team and he said, this is my problem. This is my dilemma. Help me solve it. And they came back and 98% of them said, we'll take a pay cut rather than see a colleague go.
Right.
And that was far easier to communicate than we've made this decision. Yeah. Here's a formal piece of this list of things you should and shouldn't do. Now go away for a month.
Interesting. Joe, wearing your Engage for Success hat, that's a classic case of employee voice providing the answer, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I was hoping that was going to be the end of that story as it started. Interesting, we have somebody who's volunteering with us who is furloughed, and she was telling us that they're furloughing in rotation. So they're actually allowing different people to be working at different times to, I guess, get some continuity, but also to sort of share out the reduction in people being there, so that mm-hmm. people, you know, all stay engaged. Mm-hmm. I think they're furloughed for 3 weeks and then they go back and then somebody else is going to be furloughed. So I thought that was quite an interesting way of looking at it as well.
So it's really important, isn't it, then, if there is going to be, and I think some that is the way some companies are using it, you know, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, 3 weeks on, 3 weeks off, rotation. There has to be some clear plan in terms of communication over that period, so that everybody is getting a consistent set of messages and messaging, so that if you're on week one, you don't miss out what's happening on week three, and the people on week three hear the same as the people on week four, and all of that kind of thing. It's got to be very carefully planned, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. I think there's a real focus in that organisation, particularly on the handover process, and that was what they were working on before they kicked it off, so that actually, you know, worked well for exactly the reasons that you just share.
Yeah, and it's very similar, isn't it, to, I guess, in terms of a sort of ethos, is thinking about furloughed employers in the same way that you think about people on maternity leave or paternity leave or sabbatical.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a bit of a hole that we can fall into as HR folk, to go, oh, it's like laying them off, it's like making them redundant, and then we go into that mindset. Mm. Well, it's not. It's much more, from an engagement point of view in particular, about this is a valued member of our team, talent that we want to keep engaged, and we want them to know how valued they are. Mm. And even if you don't know where the business is going to go, even if they do end up leaving you, you want them to leave you and be an advocate of the organisation.
Mm. Absolutely. Mm. And ideally we want them to come back engaged, motivated, ready to mm-hmm. get us all back to where we need to be as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Absolutely. You mentioned, Joe, on something on LinkedIn, I think, about organisations where there's the opportunity to bring people in who've recently left and therefore can't be furloughed in their new situation or whatever, bringing them back in and actually furloughing them. And you were saying, you know, explain to me, if you're not doing that, why you're not. And I think that, from a point of view of engaging employees, is amazing as well, because that's actually really showing compassion. And, you know, because people don't have to do that, and it's probably more complicated to do so, but the fact that people are able to do it and are doing it will make a big difference in those organizations as well.
Well, I think it's interesting actually, because that whole point that organizations can take people back on and furlough them if those people had left to go to a new job which has ceased to exist, it goes against what people imagine to be the norm of these sort of rules. They normally imagine that these rules are there to make it difficult for people to claim.
Yes.
Where in fact the whole point of this furlough thing is actually to create a safety net that is as wide as possible to stop people falling through the cracks. Unfortunately, there are quite a few 100,000 people falling through the cracks who are left a job to start a new job that has then not materialised. And
which is why it's so important that to recognise that you actually can do the right thing by as many people as possible. So rather than looking for reasons to not, looking for a reason to do that. Mm-hmm. It's a real test of your values. If one of your values says that, you know, our people are important to us, people matter, then here's your opportunity to step up and demonstrate that.
Really bring your employer brand and your brand values to life and make them mean something rather than just words on the wall. Great.
Absolutely.
Lovely. Ladies, thank you very much. Another really fascinating conversation. So thank you. Hope people found that useful. I'll say goodbye. Bye-bye now. Bye.